It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Now he's making room. He gets to the 50. He gets to midfield. He gets to the 40. What an athletic display by Trey Ford.
He's magic. He is the magic man of the Canadian Football League right now.
He's got a line to the net. He'll come in. The shot scores!
Edmonton's home for great stories, local heroes, and everything you need on the Oilers and Elks. This is Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins, brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta Injury Lawyers, the heavy hitters of injury law.
Well, the Panthers 20 minutes away from advancing. They lead the Lightning 2-1 after two. Another goalie interference discussion to be had in that game, which we're going to get into here in a couple of minutes. Stars and Golden Knights coming up later tonight. Vegas at home leading the series 2-1. But, of course, the visiting team has won every game in that series. Blue Jays trying to get back to 500, leading Kansas City 5-4 in the top of the sixth. NBA playoffs tonight, end of the first quarter. Pelicans and Thunder tied at 21 as the Thunder try to sweep that series. Meanwhile, Boston in Miami with a 2-1 series lead and looking very good to make it 3-1 as they are up 66-43 on the Heat with 5.5 minutes left in the third quarter. I can't remember who it was. It might have been Rick Riley when he was in his prime writing for Sports Illustrated, and he was kind of making fun of team names and saying, you know, if you think about them, they're not that good or they're kind of weird. And he said, what's the logo going to be for the Miami Heat? Two dogs panting? They didn't go that way. They went with the fiery basketball going through the hoop. Anyway, thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. We're going to get to Luke Gazdick a little bit later on. As always, he's presented by Avalon Foundation Repair, Western Canada's leading basement waterproofing company for over 50 years, home of the lifetime warranty. And of course, happy to hear from you as well. Of course, I'm sure many of you have thoughts on the Oilers, how they played, how they won yesterday, and now an opportunity to close it out on Wednesday night. Or if you want to touch on any other storylines around the league, that's fine as well. 780-496-0063 is the number to call and text. You can also email insidesports at 630ched.com. So late in the second period, the Lightning have a wrist shot from the point. Anthony Cirelli is in front of the net, kind of battling with Mikkola from the Panthers. Bobrovsky's in goal, and the puck is, you know, probably 3 feet off the ice, maybe 4 feet off the ice, and goes past Bobrovsky on his right side, on his blocker side, into the net. And the referee immediately waves off the goal, and Tampa Bay challenges and says there shouldn't be goalie interference. We think this goal should count. They looked at it. I don't think the review took very long, and they said it's goalie interference, so no goal. The call on the ice stands, and because Tampa Bay was wrong on a challenge, they're also hit with a 2-minute delay of game penalty, which they did kill off. This has been a rule that has been much discussed. If you're a hockey fan, you've certainly heard me talk about it. Rob and I, after games, we've taken calls and talked about it on Overtime Open Line when we've had a goalie interference play in an Oilers game. And it's I can get the rule book online. Anybody can. I know exactly where to go. It's Rule 69 in the rule book. It's almost 3 pages long, covering a bunch of different, instances in which there could be goalie interference, which I think is important. I think they have to outline the rule in language that everybody can understand. As much as we might watch a game and say, well, that didn't look like goalie interference, or well, that didn't feel like goalie interference, they have to verbalize the rule. And they have to have video, which they usually compile throughout the year and put together in the summer, and they show it to teams and they show it to referees, and they'll say, this is goalie interference, this is why, and this isn't, and this is why. by, and then plus when referees and the people in the situation room are making the call, they can say, you know what, this looks like that goalie interference call that in that game between Vancouver and Florida in February of 2019, and we didn't count that one. So if we didn't count that one, and it looks like this one, how can we count this one? I mean, they have all that kind of stuff and all that history, and they've looked at all the examples. Now, I'm going to contradict that just a little bit. And when I watch the play tonight, and maybe some of you have seen it, I know some of you maybe are driving around or haven't had a chance to watch, but I know sometimes I get messages from people saying they listen to the show while they watch a game, which we appreciate. When I just look at that, it doesn't look like goalie interference to me. It looks like Cirelli is battling for position. He's tied up with Mikkola. He's trying to get position. And yes, in the process of him turning, his leg does go into the crease. And to me, knocks, but I mean, I'm not comfortable even using the word bumps. Or his leg touches Bobrovsky and maybe mildly affects Bobrovsky, and the puck comes in from the point, and Bobrovsky goes at it with his right arm, and it goes past him and in. And in the process of this, Bobrovsky lost his stick. From the replay that I saw, it didn't look to me like Cirelli knocked Bobrovsky's stick out of his hands. Because I think if that was the case, that's a no goal. Like, if you're close enough to the goalie and you've been in the crease or going through the crease and you actually knock the goalie's stick hard enough to knock it out of his hands, then I don't think that should be a goal. But in this one, it almost looked like Bobrovsky dropped it or lost it in the process of trying to put his arm up to stop the shot. If you really want an entertaining read, then go read the rule yourself. There are a couple key parts to it, and if you've heard me and Rob talk about this before, you probably know where I'm going to go with this. But there's one paragraph that, in my mind, is key to this, and it's what would it be? It would be the third one down in the rule, Rule 69, interference on the goalkeeper. And it says, the overriding rationale of this rule is that a goalkeeper should have the ability to move freely within his goal crease without being hindered by the actions of an attacking player. If an attacking player enters the goal crease and by his actions impairs the goalkeeper's ability to defend his goal and a goal is scored, the goal will be disallowed. So I suppose by the absolute letter of that rule, Cirelli impaired Bobrovsky because, again, in the process of trying to spin away from Mikkola's check, his left leg went into the crease and far enough that it, you know, kind of knocked Bobrovsky on the right side of his body, and then the puck goes in on the right side. Now, having said that, when I watch it, I'm also thinking to myself, okay, there's contact. Does contact necessarily mean that the goaltender was hindered? And here's the whole problem with this, one of the problems with this rule. The offensive player should be allowed to battle for position and should be allowed to fight for the puck. You know, we know from other goals and plays involving the Oilers, and there was the one where Hyman was cutting through the crease and turned the goaltender a little bit, and Nugent Hopkins shot it in, that a player can go into the crease to pursue the puck, but if he's just going through the crease or trying to set a screen and winds up in the crease, then he's at risk to being called for interference. But when I watch this play, I'm thinking, okay, Mikkola is battling with Cirelli, so there's a fight for position. In the process of Cirelli trying to get free, his skate and his left leg goes into the crease. Yes, it touches Bobrovsky. Did it hinder Bobrovsky from making the save? If it's me, I would say no. But I suppose if they're going by the actual letter of the rule, they can't allow the goal. I was able to turn the sound on here before the show started, and they had Kelly Rudy and Luke Gazdick on the panel, both of whom are regulars on the show. And Kelly, who was a goaltender, and I tend to, when I talk about goaltender interference or when I listen to people talk about goaltender interference, I tend to really listen to the opinions of goaltenders. And Kelly said it's part of being a goaltender that at times you have to fight through contact or little nudges. That's to paraphrase what he said. So he's saying, look, you can't plow into the goaltender. You can't have free rein on the goaltender, but it's also hockey. There are men around the crease trying to score on you, and there's going to be battles for position, as sometimes as a goaltender, you have to work to get your position. And in this play, again, I don't think Bobrovsky was really that affected by Cirelli being there. Now, what I'm saying could easily be refuted as well, because someone could say contact is contact. The crease is there for a reason. You touch the goalie in the crease, puck goes in, then you must have hindered his ability to make the save. And I suppose that's the letter of the law that they're following there. This isn't going to go away with the goalie interference, because they could tweak the rules to something else, and then that could open up more problems. I remember about a month ago when we had that play with Hyman, I challenged everybody, text in the simplest rule for goalie interference that you could envision, and we had some pretty good submissions. But it seems to me that's why that was disallowed tonight. I think it's somewhat problematic, because just looking at it, it looks like a good goal. Looks like the offensive player was trying to set a screen, battling with the guy in front. In the process of that, he's trying to get position, and yeah, briefly was in the crease, but didn't knock over the goalie, didn't knock the goalie out of the way, but did touch him, and they rule that that's enough. Anyway, if you saw it or you want to talk about that, 780-496-0063. We do have a game time for Game 4 between the Oilers and the Kings. It's not early. It's another, it's not going to be 8:50 like yesterday. The NHL announcing 8 p.m. Wednesday for Game 5 at Rogers Place. So we'll have Oilers Now at 4. We'll have the face-off show at 6 from Studio 99. And then the game at 8 as the Oilers try to finish it off in 5. The Oilers flew back during the day today before they departed. Head coach Chris Knobloch answered some questions from the media. And he commented on that shot clock last night. 33-13 in favor of the Kings.
A lot of their looks, we didn't give up a scoring chance off the rush. We didn't give up a grade A scoring chance, in my opinion. There was a lot of Bs. They were throwing a lot of pucks to the net, and they were looking for rebounds. And, you know, there's a lot of times where, you know, they almost got those rebounds. But I thought our defense especially did a really good job clearing in front of the net, whether tying up a stick or clearing a rebound.
All right, so that's a little bit there from Chris Knobloch on being outshot 33-13. And I think, you know, fair that they gave up a lot of shots. There were perimeter shots. There were, at times L.A. was just getting pucks to the net. Maybe the quality of chances wasn't there. Still, it was minus 20 shot differential, which is not always great. But the Oilers were able to figure it out. And again, a big part of the game, even though there was only one penalty each way, special teams. Oilers 1-for-1 on the power play. Kings 0-for-1. Kings don't have a power play goal in this series. Here's a little more from Knobloch.
Everyone is very dialed in. A lot of credit should be given to Mark Stewart, Glenn Gullitson, how well they've done with the special teams. Glenn's been, part of working with the power play for years now, and obviously has a lot of good players to work with, but you also have to be flexible and have to adapt. And I think he's adapted very well to take advantage of what an opposition penalty kill looks like. Mark Stewart, on the other hand, has been new at the special teams and has done a fantastic job all season with the penalty kill. And you can see how much preparation he put in getting our players ready for this series. And they are absolutely dialed in on the penalty kill. And I think probably the biggest is just the confidence the players have of those four guys on the ice, reading off each other, attacking the puck, their opportunities to have that change of possession. So, yeah, no, special teams have been a huge part of this series.
Yeah, the Oilers on a very good... I mean, the power play, it's over 50%, but it's almost not surprising that they could have a run of games where they could be that productive, because it's been that awesome a power play for several years. The PK, we've seen it throughout the year. When it gets on a hot streak, it's good, and it's shutting down the same team night after night. It's very aggressive. There have been several power plays, including yesterday, where LA didn't even really get a sniff. And that, to me, that kind of, in hindsight, ended the game last night. Kulak goes off with 11-11 left in the game. LA did not get a shot on goal on the power play. They got one shot on goal the rest of the game. And actually, Rob Brown texted me today because he was rewatching parts of the game. And he said the Kings got their last shot with 6:22 left in the game. So basically in the last 11 and a half minutes, they had one shot. And that helped the Oilers put it away for sure. All right. 4 minutes into the third, Florida leading Tampa Bay 2-1. Happy to hear from you at 780-496-0063. It's Inside Sports on Ched.
Hi, this is Darnell Nurse from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins on 630 Ched.
Well, this is certainly not the tempo of music we usually play on this show, Jeff.
Oh, no?
Not usually.
Oh, geez, sorry. I thought everybody liked the Cars. You want something more upbeat for the rest of the show, eh?
Was that the Cars?
That was the Cars,
I thought
yeah.
That was something else. Well, you might think by the Cars is way better.
You know, honestly, I was going to do an all Cars day here today. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, that's fine. I don't mind that. All right, 780-496. Jeff, first of all, good to have you on board tonight. Thanks.
Oh, thanks for having me, Reed.
You're doing well. What do we have coming in tonight?
Well, we got lots of texts on the Bobrovsky play here, Reed. We've got a no-name. We're going to start with that one. Bob drops his stick when he felt the bump, and he thinks that he sold the call, in his opinion. And if that was the case, well, he did a good job selling it, Reed.
I think that person may be on to something.
Yeah, and then we have Dean.
Why wouldn't you if you're the goalie, I guess?
Well,
No. How was I supposed to stop it? Poor me didn't have my stick.
Yeah, and that's exactly it.
That's
right?
Not how Bobrovsky sounds, I don't think.
I don't think so, but you know what? It was a good impression anyway. I'll give you an A-plus on that one, Reed. Then we have Dean. He is saying in all caps, by the way, of course it hindered Bob, Reed. So he thinks that, you know, the right call was made on the ice. We also had one guy here text in. It's Dwight. Dwight said maybe make the blue paint area slightly smaller and then a new yellow no man's zone for anyone, then these precious goalies would be untouchable. So like kind of a second crease in there is what Dwight is looking for, Reed.
That'd be interesting. Yeah, I mean, the crease used to flare all the way out, be a complete semicircle, right?
Of,
are you playing the music because you want me to stop talking? Or you just really like the song?
You know what? I have no idea. I didn't even know that was still on. I'm like, I'm muted.
That's funny. That's okay. It's like, they're bringing in the band again.
Jeez, I could not hear that in here. I don't know. What's going on here?
That is an interesting comment, though, about the markings on the ice. And who was I talking? Was it Mooner I was talking to it about? Because there was the kicked-in goal. Was it just yesterday? All the games are a blur. When Forsberg had the kicked-in goal against Vancouver that looked like he kicked it and it didn't, and then it still counted. I mean, if somebody said, whoever I was talking to said, they should just say if your foot is in the crease and the puck goes in off your foot while it's in the crease, it's no goal. Whether you make a kicking motion or if it's a deflection off your skate. Because technically, yes, your skates can go into the crease if the puck is there, but the point of skating into a crease is to battle for a puck that's already there and to score with your stick. So when it comes to goalie interference, do they need to be, just say, like, you know, a player can't be there at all? And if a goal is scored and he's there, maybe it's even a penalty. I don't know. Now, I do think they've tried to make the crease a stricter delineation with some of the way they've written the rule now, but I do find that's a good kind of out of the box thinking that maybe should there be other lines on the ice that are more just an area that belongs even more to the goalie than the way the crease is right now.
Can I ask you something, Reed? Do you think it was because the ref called it no goal on the ice and there just wasn't enough to overturn that?
That could be.
You know,
because they go, yeah, if they don't have evidence, they go to the call on the ice. Or if they don't have evidence that they think is 100%, they go to the call on the ice. So, and I didn't hear the announcement. I didn't hear, because Escott and I were on air, so I didn't know if he just said the call on the ice stands or if he said we reviewed it and there was goalie interference.
Well,
have something to do with it.
I know they waved it off right away. So now my other question for you, the second question is, do you think that a ref should just let that goal stand and then have it go to review?
I think the ref has to call what he sees.
Okay.
I think you have to call what you see on the ice. That's still the job of the officials. Yeah, I wouldn't want Yeah, personally, I wouldn't want that where a ref's like, well, I don't really know. I'll just call it a goal. I think the job of the referee is to make a call as he sees it on the ice.
Which is fair.
All right, let's take a quick timeout. We'll get to more of your messages, and Luke Gazdick is coming up, presented by Avalon Foundation Repair, Western Canada's leading basement waterproofing company for over 50 years, home of the lifetime warranty. It's Inside Sports on 630 CHED.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.